So, Berto, a patron wrote in and asked us, actually a number of patrons wrote in and asked us to talk about Batman or Batman v Superman. So just Batman.
Oh my gosh.
Or Batman v Superman.
Yes.
Shall we do it?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, this is the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm chair of the Couple and Family Therapy Program at Antioch University, Seattle, and I'm also a licensed marriage and family therapist.
My name is Humberto Castañeda, and I actually do a variety of things, including fight superheroes.
Yeah, interesting. So this is from patron J.A., just the initials J.A. Hi, Kirk. I love your show, and I am a patron. I listen to it all the time at work. I was listening to your Psychology of Harry Potter episode and heard that you saw Batman v Superman. What did you think? I think it's worth talking about on a psychological level. So just chiming in here, by the way, spoiler alert.
Spoilers.
Yeah, we're going to talk about everything.
Everything.
From beginning to end. So if you don't want things spoiled, then you should not listen to this. So, let's see, he goes on to say, I'm just going to say he's a man. We'll just say that. I personally feel that the whole Martha moment was legit. Everyone is saying how cheesy it is, but I feel that based off the character we see in the film, he was almost ready to be triggered. What do you think about that, Berto?
Yeah, I had this debate repeatedly with many people online and in person. I am someone who saw the movie, I think I saw it three times in the theater. And the first time I cried, I think two or three times during the movie.
Wow. When Superman died?
Yes. And earlier in two other places.
I cried
is a strong statement, but I had tears welling up in my eyes. One time was at the beginning where, Batman is trying to rush into the disaster and save people. It was
wow.
Just
they
so
got
touching.
You early.
They got me early, and even though I'd seen the preview, I was like, "Okay, this is very touching. He's doing it so well." Then later, I think it was when
I'm trying to think of another moment.
No, it was when
was Superman was talking to his dad or his mom?
Everest?
Or?
No, I don't think it was that.
Well, anyway.
But I think it was one of the moments with Wonder Woman, actually, funny enough. But my point is this. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I have friends that think it's one of the worst, if not the worst, superhero movie ever made. And these are people whose opinions I respect about movies.
Yeah. I don't get it.
So it's such a radical opinion.
Yeah. No. Everyone hates this movie. And I just do not understand. I think that, you know, it's just so interesting how culture affects people. I am not in the superhero culture. I have like barely one toe in it. You know, I participated in some of the comic stuff when I was a kid, but not really. And I don't have a vested interest in the characters really.
Right.
I mean, particularly when you think about the actual Superman and Batman I grew up with.
Yeah.
The 50s Superman
completely different.
And the 70s Batman. It's like it's a silly character to me, you know. And, you know, the Superman of the 80s with Christopher Reeves, you know, he went around the earth to like turn back time. I mean, you know, these movies Superman 5, I think I saw that movie, and that one's terrible. Anyway, yeah, I think it's just so interesting how culture can just completely change your point of view, and I think this case in point. Because when I saw it the first time, I was like, yeah, it was entertaining, a little confusing, but yeah, that was fun. And then the next day, I'm reading just hatred. Not just like, yeah, I didn't really like it. People feel personally attacked by this movie.
And so take the Martha thing. I mean, we're skipping to one of the big ones, but take the Martha.
We need to explain it to the listeners who haven't seen it. If you're listening,
which you shouldn't, if you haven't
seen
it.
Well, you know, I bet you there's some people who are like, I'm never going to see that movie.
Fine.
Basically, there's this point, Batman and Superman are fighting and Batman is winning and he's about to kill Superman with kryptonite. And Superman is worried about his mother because Lex Luthor has his mother hostage, and so Superman's last voice, last breath, he says to Batman, okay, fine, you're going to kill me, but please save my mother, save Martha, he says.
Save Martha.
And in that moment, suddenly, I as a watcher, realized, their mothers have the same name. Batman's mother died from a mugger. A mugger killed Batman's parents and his mother. And while Batman, Bruce Wayne, as a kid, was standing right next to his mother. Yeah. And her name was Martha, and it's the major story arc element for
Batman. Batman's whole life. Yes,
right. The fact that this criminal murdered his parents in cold blood in front of his eyes is what drives his motivation to become a crime fighter. It's what gives him his dark persona. He's a tragic, traumatized figure. He lives in the shadows, just like the criminal that killed his, so this moment when Superman says, "Save Martha," you see Batman's face. He's like, "What did you just say?"
But so here's where I feel so many people misinterpreted that scene. And that's why they think it's a ridiculous scene. The way I heard it most oftenly complained about it was that.
But I just again for the listeners, in that moment, Batman decides not to kill Superman.
Everything
changes, and then they're on the same team. And so it's the fact that it's this Save Martha is like this massive 180 degree turn for Batman.
Well, but so that's the alleged problem is that they say, oh, this is such a contrived, ridiculous scene because just because their moms have the same name, all of a sudden they're friends and everything's fine. And that's not what happened at all. So what happens is that, and this seems so obvious and not difficult for me. What happens is in the moment where Batman is about to strike, conceptually, like cognitively, there is no way he would expect to hear the name of his mother. That is something so out of context at that moment.
Does he know that Superman's?
Of course, he doesn't know he's human. He doesn't know that he's got human relatives at all.
Okay.
So there's no context for Batman in which he would expect the word Martha to come out of in that moment. Let alone from he wouldn't expect that word to come from Superman.
Right.
Let alone in that moment.
Right.
So he's about to kill him, and then he's saying blah 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 Martha. He's like, what?
Yeah.
So of course he stops because it's such a dissonant thing in his head.
Right.
But that's not why they're all of us. But it's not like he goes, Martha, wait, why'd you say that? Well, that's my mom's name. Oh, weird. We got the same mom's name? Oh, all right. Well, never mind. That's not at all what happens. It's just that, what's her name? Lois Lane comes in and he's like, why did you say that? And he's like, it's his mom's name. Now, again, it's not that he goes, oh, well, then in that case. No, he says in an instant, his brain processes this concept that this isn't just some weird alien monster. He's got a mother. That humanizes him.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like, they say when, like, if you're ever trapped by a psychopath, or not a psychopath, but by someone, like, try to humanize yourself, talk about your life,
your family,
empathize with them. In that moment, very fast. And then, so you could fault the movie for like, well, the cut was too quick. Oh, they didn't spend long enough. Fine, you could fault it, but it's not the same as saying that, oh, the reason they became friends in an instant is because their moms have the same name. That is not the relevant part at all of that scene. And that's where I battle.
Right. And I watched this movie a second time recently and actually liked it more because I realized that there's a lot of psychological unsaid things. It's almost like the movie was too sophisticated in some ways. I mean, not like it's a super sophisticated movie, but there are...
Yes, you're dumb if you did not like this movie.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No. What I'm saying is like when you see a Superman, Batman movie, you're not thinking that you have to like track the inner psychology and the interplay of the characters. When I saw it the first time, I didn't expect I would have to do that. The second time, I was like, okay, I'm really going to try to figure out this Martha thing. And when you watch the movie with that in mind, I don't know if this is the case for you, it makes total sense to me. But you have to imply a lot of psychology on it, just like you're saying. It's like, when... So let me just give you the psychological arc of Batman. He is a boy. He's like 10 or something. And he's with his parents. And he's an only child. And he loves his parents. And his parents are great, particularly his mom.
Yep.
And a mugger comes up and, puts a gun and says, give me your money. In the movie, the father tries to fight the mugger kills him. And then the mother tries to fight too, which I thought was interesting because usually I don't think that's the depiction. I think usually the mother's just like this hapless victim, but she actually tries to strike him or something. And the mugger kills her too.
And by the way, a quick parenthesis about this. Part of this is also misinformation by some of the people complaining, because I saw some rants online, at least one prominent I remember saying about his dad, saying there's no way he would swing at the robber because he loved his family too much. They lifted that whole scene is lifted verbatim from one of the beloved, most famous Batman comics called The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's not like he even made it up. That's a beloved fictional piece.
Right. So what you're saying is, like, they're following the lore quite religiously.
Yeah.
And so shut the F up. Yeah. So, yeah. And the parents die right in front of his eyes, you know, tragically, violently. They're ripped away from him. He doesn't go to therapy, I'm guessing. He doesn't get any treatment. He's cloistered away in this rich mansion, and he decides to channel, you know, they always depict this where he, you know, he's lost and he doesn't know who he is or what he's going to do. And then suddenly he gets inspired at this young age to fight crime, essentially. And so he channels all of that trauma and all that pain into avenging his parents, particularly his mom, and he will never forget. And he, you know, he keeps going back to the grave. And again, they don't show this explicitly, but because they don't have him talking to the grave. Mom, I'm going to avenge you. Like, you just you have to get inside Bruce Wayne's mind. He keeps going back to this grave, and you just imagine he's just like, I am going to get revenge.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm not just going to, you know, stop crime. I'm going to scare these fuckers. I'm going to brand them.
Yep.
I'm going to terrify them.
Yep.
I'm not even going to follow the law.
Nope.
I don't care if the police are on my side. I am going to crush, you know, crime. And so he likes to scare people. He likes to abuse them. He both abuses street thugs, but also identifies with street thugs. He's internalized the man who killed his parents, which we often do. We often identify with our abusers. He lurks at night. He likes to be violent. He works outside the law. He likes other people to fear him. That's a very important thing. Superman doesn't want people to fear him. Batman wants people to be afraid of him. He wants people to be terrified, even cops. He wants everyone to be terrified.
Yep.
He wants to be physically powerful. So this is all part of his trauma. If he was a logical person, he wouldn't do half the things that he does. I mean, what's up with the scary outfit? You know what I mean? Like, he is a psychologically troubled individual.
Yeah.
So when Bruce looks up and sees, you know, that Superman is destroying this town and killing his When You Cried at the beginning of the movie, Superman is just annihilating this town and kills his friends and his coworkers, people that he loves. Bruce Wayne sees Superman as the thug.
Yep.
He is as the mugger who killed his parents. It's like, here's if I can get revenge on this guy, then I can truly get closure on this issue of my parents. Of course, that wouldn't happen, but that's the compulsion of, like, I must destroy Superman. Now, there is nothing said about that in the movie. They never. There's no scene where he's like talking to the gravesite.
Yeah.
Martha, I will kill Superman because he is just like the mugger. Like, there's no scene like that. You have to get inside Bruce Wayne's head.
Yeah.
And the first time I watched it, it all went past me. It's almost like the movie was, like I said, too sophisticated. And so again,
I gotta say that I really connected with this movie the first time I saw it. Now listen, on third watching and in retrospect, there are many things that I would improve.
Totally, but let's get into that in a second.
But that wasn't my point. My point was that I do love it. But part of the thing I love about it was the fact that it didn't overexpose.
Yeah.
It didn't overexplain.
Right. Exactly. And movies do that all the time. But I think, well, we'll get into that in a second. Let's hear a word from our sponsors. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Okay, we're back. So when Superman says, save Martha, Bruce Wayne is like you said, just like, what did you just say? What are you talking about, my mother? Do you know my mother?
And it might not even be like my mother. It's just the fact that it's like if you're, in fact, they say this. I read this somewhere else. One possible technique if you're being confronted by like someone that's trying to attack you or something is to say really crazy random shit.
Yeah.
Cause it might like scare them in a weird way. Like what is something wrong with this person?
Yeah.
So it's like if you're trying to attack
What would you do if I was going to attack you right now? What would you say?
Chicken jujus?
you really should chamber that one, man. That one is a golden egg right there, man. Chicken juju.
Oh my god. But anyways, so that's the kind of thing that happened to Batman.
Yeah.
Superman essentially said chicken juju.
Right. So, but like you said, it humanizes Superman. And so when
that was part two. Yeah.
So when Superman is saying, you know, my mother, I have a mother who's going to die. And Superman is literally under his boot. Batman is like, wait a second. I can't project that street thug who killed my parents onto this man. Because he never got the mugger, right? Yeah. He never gets the mugger because he just can't find him. He's always chasing the mugger. But here is this version of the mugger, essentially, in his psychology, under his foot. He's about to kill him, and he's talking about his own mother. It super humanizes Superman into this boy who is worried about his mom.
Absolutely, because not to mention... So there are two moments. The first one is simply a startling moment that stops his hand, right? That's not the moment where Batman is like, okay, now I won't kill you. It's just a startling moment, like, right?
Yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Well, he even says it. He's like, why do you say that? What are you saying?
Yeah. He's still actually probably now going to really kill him because he's like, what?
Yeah.
But then that's when she dashes in. She's like, it's his mom. Okay. After he's like, after his head processes that it's his mom, well, now there's the added... subconscious complexity of if he kills this quote unquote son,
whoa,
then who is he then?
He's the mugger.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, I didn't even think of that angle. Right.
Yeah.
And so Bruce Wayne's humanity is it emerges. He's reminded of his own humanity.
Yeah.
And instead of killing him, he just snaps out of it. He's like, what am I doing? I mean, that's the point, is Batman is flawed. There's something wrong with his brain.
Yeah.
He's not your typical good guy.
Yep.
And he has trauma, and he erroneously locked in on Superman as the villain when he wasn't the villain. So but honestly, one criticism I can say is they probably should have spelled that out a little bit more.
Oh yeah, and they could have spent a little more in that moment.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that, again, in retrospect, is like, well, then you have to question how much movie you would have, but certainly Superman had more options available to him when he first confronts Batman and tries to explain things.
Right.
Because Superman is so much more powerful than just walking up to Batman.
Right.
But the problem with these things is like, you do have to have a confrontation.
Right.
And
but you can set it up, I think, more easily. That there are all sorts of different ways you could have set it up that would have made it more logical. Particularly, like you said earlier, when Superman's like, hey, let's not fight. Superman, you know, all he has to do is he's as fast. He's almost as fast as the Flash, right?
Yeah.
So he could just, at the speed of light...
Yeah.
you know, take off his his, you know, his thing, and then just Bruce Wayne's just standing there, or get him in a bear hug.
The exception, like someone could point out, like actually no, because he's got some of the kryptonite near him, and that would immediately exponentially start diminishing his power. But that, all that aside, that's when you say, like, I like this movie. Oh, they could have done this, this.
Right.
That's not when you say, this is the stupidest, worst superhero movie of all time.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't do any better that the new one,
Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
See, that is actually not a good movie.
I haven't seen it, but I heard it was so bad by people that are very forgiving of movies.
See, that one to me, and it's funny because some people really enjoyed it. And I look,
really, I heard even people that are not huge into DC, they don't even like it.
I heard some of the reviews from fans, and some people I've talked to did enjoy it. But that's a movie where I thought, okay, I'm not walking out of this movie because there's enough like action. And actually, what's her name? The gal, Margot Robbie, and Will Smith. They were good. They were good actors in this movie.
Okay,
it's just full of plot holes, full of stupid stuff. So, like at the end, when I'm done with that movie, I'm like, okay, this is a bad movie.
Yeah,
this is something I would give, I don't know, 40% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is something I would give 40%, and yet one of the same people online claimed that this was still better than Batman v Superman.
God, yeah. So, getting back to Superman, I think one, Superman should not be in movies. He's too powerful. There's no tension. The only way you can have tension, one, and they do this in this movie, is with kryptonite, or if his loved ones, Lois Lane or his mom, are in trouble. And you just also have to wonder, like, dude, Superman, put your mom somewhere safe. And put Lois somewhere safe, for that matter. So,
well, he did. He took her down to the bottom of the building.
Yeah. You know, so Superman, he's just too powerful. There's just, it, you know, like I said, when I'm watching it, because I know what he can do, I'm like, why are you holding back? If you really just want to, like, disarm Batman, just superpower, you know, just, anyway.
Yeah, because what they didn't go into is, like, he could freeze Batman from, like, a mile away.
Right.
He could use laser, the laser eyes, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
The infrared vision, whatever.
Right.
He could use that to fry any number of components in electronics or things. Like, it's just...
Right. And so, I thought, you know, but, you know, you got to have Superman.
You have to have a movie.
Yeah. Well, but here's the thing. Superman dies at the end. Spoiler alert. Superman dies. And I thought, oh my God. And I think I might have cried a little bit when that happened, because the way that whole scene plays out, you know, he's talking to Lois and he's like, I always loved you, or something like that. And he sacrifices himself to kill Doomsday. And it all made sense, you know, because you got Batman with his kryptonite, you know, which opens up a thing, and then he's got the spear, and, you know, it all made sense. And it was so touching. And, you know, Superman, you know, people were kind of against him, and so he's still going to sacrifice himself. And I thought, oh my God, they've solved the problem of Superman. They've gotten rid of him. Now they can actually have movies with tension. Because when Batman is in a movie, there's tension.
You don't follow the comics, do you?
And, you know, Aquaman, there's going to be Flash. Yeah. Flash only has 1% of what Superman can do. It's a pretty awesome thing. But so you kill, maybe you bring him back, you know.
He's coming right back.
Right. At the end of the movie, they reveal he didn't really die.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Oh, by the way, that was a disappointing scene for me, because it was an unnecessary, that was almost like a producer thing. Like, well, you got to show them he's alive.
Right. And that last scene when Batman breaks into the prison to confront Lex Luthor.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah.
Lex Luthor is in this super high maximum security. Batman destroys the entire security system, knocks out all those innocent correctional officers just to have a minor conversation with Lex Luthor.
And so I really liked, if it were in a vacuum, I liked Jesse Eisenberg's performance. But the reason I don't like that Lex Luthor is because he's too much like the Joker.
Yeah. Well, and I don't like how he's acting crazy. You know
what I mean?
That's what I mean. Yeah.
That's a Joker thing to do.
I guess. But
that's not a Lex Luthor thing to do.
The first time I watched the movie, Lex didn't bother me. The second time I watched it, I was just like, this is...
And people pointed out that that's not technically the Lex Luthor. He's the Lex Luthor's son.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. It's Lex Luthor. Right. Come on.
And then that scene where Bruce Wayne is doing CrossFit. I mean, come on.
What?
That there's like a whole montage where
I know what you're talking about.
Ben Affleck
it's the Rocky moment.
It's so dumb. I mean that scene. Okay, so this is all the bad shit of the movie. So the Bruce Wayne doing CrossFit was just it made no sense.
I liked it. I was pinching my nipples.
The only thing I was thinking of was Ben Affleck was like, I'm kind of ripped right now, and I'm in this Batman suit the whole time, and I want to show off, and he has a sledgehammer and he's hitting a big tire. He has a sledgehammer. He's literally hitting a big tire. That's one of the scenes. Okay. Another thing I will say is the reveal of the other superheroes, the reveal, you know, where she's clicking around on the computer and they do Aquaman and they do Cyborg and they do Flash. Like,
that was dumb.
That would have been okay, but it was right as the movie was approaching its climax.
Oh, yeah. One thing I will definitely not disagree with the critics on is that I wish there would have been almost no Justice League stuff in this one.
Right.
Except for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I thought it was great that they brought her in. She did a fantastic job. I liked it. But that could have been it for this movie.
Right.
Maybe at the very end of credits thing, show one last little teaser of something.
Or just a quick passerby.
Whatever.
But they had long scenes.
Dumb.
Long scenes. And particularly the last time when they fully revealed Aquaman. Right. It was literally at the worst possible story arc time.
Yeah. Now, the reason I didn't ding the movie, if you will, so much for those is because whenever I feel like I can cut out a scene and that problem is solved, I don't care so much.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, just remove that scene and I don't have that problem.
Right.
Okay, so the one thing I was going to say rewinding to Bruce doing CrossFit is, in retrospect, that actually does piss me off. It didn't bother me as much at the time because I thought it was like, okay, he's working out. Whatever. But it really does conceptually bother me because there is no amount of human physical training that could prepare even Batman to physically go against Superman. There is literally, like, he could have trained for 100 years and it wouldn't make a difference. If Superman was going to hit you, it's the end of the road. So the only advantage Batman has and had and was bringing to the game was his wits. So I would have rather seen that time showing me how he was planning. And they showed me a little bit of, because, you know, he put together the little spears and things like that. But planning time would have been way more valuable because that's the only way that he could have gotten Superman.
So the guy who's playing Flash in the new DC movies, and he was very briefly in Batman v Superman. Oh, so that's a whole other thing I want to get into, is the things that they did explain were way too confusing for the average viewer. I mean, I read online and I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool that they included all this like kind of Easter egg-y stuff. But when I was watching it in the theater, I was like, what is that? You know, the Omega sign. I mean, essentially what I read, and correct me if I'm wrong because you read the comics, was Batman in the comics eventually gets influenced by some kind of time travel bug or something where he starts to have visions of the future and the past.
I have not read those comics. So I only know about as much as you have read or whatever. So whatever you've read is probably right.
So that whole scene where Batman essentially, if you don't know any better, he's having a dream about the future in which he's imprisoned and, you know, there's some kind of massive apocalypse that happens to the earth. You know, they should not have included that in this movie. It's too confusing. The other thing is when Flash comes back in time and talks to him, and he's like, you were right about Superman. You were right about Superman. He's like, am I too soon? And because that's a whole other thing that's in the comic books where Flash can time travel, but he's not very precise with it.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
And so for the super, super fans, it'd be like, oh, that must be Flash. But to the 99% of the rest of us, I'm like, what the hell is happening right now?
But see, these things didn't bother me. Like, if someone wanted to say, hey, you used the valuable time that you could have used for the core movie, I'd say, fine, cut the stupid scenes.
But those scenes in particular were, they were long, one, and they were very confusing because I was like, so what's happened? So Superman.
But this is where I go, like, come on, we're watching a movie about super beings from outer space fighting super crazy weird shit.
But
have some mystery.
But fine, there was enough mystery anyway, I thought.
What was the mystery?
Well, just.
We know who Superman is. We know who Batman is. We know who Lex Luthor is. We even. Okay, fine. If you haven't never read about Doomsday, you don't. But, I personally felt like, okay, cool. Something I don't know anything about, because I didn't.
Yeah.
But I just trusted. I'm like, well, look, they're doing like 10 more of these stupid movies. So fine, give me some mystery.
Yeah.
So it didn't bother me as much.
Okay. Well,
actually, it didn't bother me at all.
So Ezra Miller, he's the guy who's playing the new Flash.
Yeah.
At South by Southwest, I ran into him at this.
What?
At this really small,
okay,
like country bar. And I.
Did you recognize him? You knew
him? Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Because I knew him from Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Okay.
I love that movie. And he was actually also in Trainwreck. He was that really freaky younger kid who had sex with. He was the intern that Amy Schumer had sex with, and he wanted his nipples to be touched.
I see. Okay.
Anyway, so he's the new Flash, which I'm really excited about because I think he has a very interesting sort of way about him. And when I met him in South by Southwest, I don't know. I just he looks kind of half Asian to me, so I feel like I don't think he is half Asian though. But I feel like some sort of kinship with him, and so I hugged him really hard, and
he couldn't get away even though he's so fast.
Yeah, and so there's that. And also, Khal Drogo is playing Aquaman,
right?
Which is pretty cool. So what's your final word on Batman v Superman?
Like I said, I very much enjoyed the movie. I think because I had such an emotional reaction to it, I forgave a lot of stuff. But by the way, I forgave a ton of stupid stuff in the latest Avengers movie. A lot of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm giving DC a special dispensation. I actually know more about Marvel storylines than I do about DC,
right,
which may help me. Yeah. I don't know if that helps it or not.
Yeah,
but.
It's a cultural thing. You know, it's the things that lead up to the movie that, you know, if you have Ben Affleck in a movie, half of America is going to hate it just because of that.
And yet, ironically, he was one of the few things that the loud critics liked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This person that I keep referencing, he actually thought Ben Affleck did a good job.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, the final word I will say is that when you keep trauma in mind and you make some interpretations on Bruce Wayne's trauma and you look for clues of psychological distress and this avenging and the internalization of the abuser, the movie actually is quite an interesting study of psychology, and I commend it for that. But they could have been more explicit with it because it was really lost on a lot of people. Well, that does it for this episode of Psychology in Seattle. Thanks for joining us out there. Please take care of yourself because
you deserve it.